Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brethren Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org.
For those who weren't here last week and those who don't know, this is Mike Gentis. I am Mike McGinnis. So there's two Mikes on our leadership team here. And it's a privilege for me to have the opportunity to fill in for Pastor Phil, who's on vacation this week. Last week, we talked about a verse in Matthew chapter 5 that relates to a beatitude teaching, and it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." And what we talked about last week is that there's two parts to that, about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. First of all, it's not just limited to what you and I feel when we get hungry at breakfast time, lunchtime, or dinner. Hungering and thirsting includes those who live in countries where they honestly don't have enough food to eat. They don't have clean water to drink. And they have a desperate hunger and a desperate thirst. And that's what God wants us to have for righteousness. Now, that's an interesting concept. And so what we talked about is that the definition of righteousness is actually just the quality or condition of rightness. It literally means thinking as God would think and doing what God would do. And what I said last week, after we looked through a bunch of verses that kind of show the importance of it, is that this week we would talk about the practical side of it. The first part of righteousness is our standing before God. That we have to be in the presence of God, we have to be saved. We have to know Jesus as our personal Savior. Christians are narrow-minded. Folks, God gave one son. He had one son. If I gave my child to die for a bunch of people, I'd be narrow-minded too. It's a big sacrifice. God gave his son. There's no other way to heaven. It's through his son, Jesus, period. End of story. So if you've never invited Christ to be the Lord of your life, you are separate from him. You are not headed to heaven. I told you that last week if you were here. Hopefully that's changed during the week if that's true for any of you. That is our standing before God. We have to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Our second part of that is, how do we live that daily? How do we live out a right kind of life before God? What did I do wrong, Michael? I pushed the wrong button? I give up.
That's a pointer. I don't know, what'd you do?
Oh, is it the side button?
Hit that one.
Well, it helps if you push the right button. So, beginning and end of our message today, we have three questions that can guide you into making right decisions. First question, what would Jesus think? Second question, what would Jesus do? Third question, we talked about those last two last time. Third question, very important. Is this activity or thinking helping me reach my ultimate goals or not? So many decisions that are made in today's world are made on impulse. They're made on what's right in front of me, what's my best offer. Now, I'm going to speak to the younger generation a lot today, and I don't mean this to be a condemnation at all. I actually mean this to be something to help you rise above your peers, because truly, you're better than that. But your peers, and I'm going to say from, I don't even know what age to say, 30 on down, I don't know. You have a tendency that if someone invites you to something, and you're like, yeah, I'll be there. But you don't tell them there's a parenthesis in your brain, and it goes like this. Unless I get a better offer between now and then. And oh, by the way, if I get a better offer between now and then, I'm not going to call you and tell you I'm not coming. I'm just going to not show and apologize. Folks, that is just plain rude. And disrespectful of people's time and effort and energy. So my youngest daughter, she's not here today, so I can tell this story on her, and she can't be mad at me. She had an elaborate party. She had 20 people respond that they would be there. 4 people showed up, and not one person told her they weren't coming that didn't show. I spent a lot of money on food. That's just not acceptable. So please be better than that. If you commit to something and something changes and you're not going to come, have the courtesy to tell someone that your plans have changed. So instead of being impulsive, Think about long-term goals. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We're going to look at some foundational principles for living rightly, practical living rightly. And we're about to dive into a few verses that talk about how to succeed at that. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The part of that verse that I want to focus on is how we're transformed. Folks, feedback. How are we transformed? By renewing our mind. In plain English, that means thinking differently. You and I were born with stinking thinking. It wasn't God's thinking. So this book came to teach us how God thinks and what he would choose. And it helps guide us in what the Bible calls wisdom. So we are transformed by renewing our mind. Long story short, the word transformed in the Greek, I don't read Greek, I read books that do. The Greek word there is metamorphized. It is a term in biology, caterpillar to butterfly. I always thought that was totally cool. A worm with lots of legs goes into a cocoon, loses a bunch of legs, grows some wings and comes out. Woohoo, look at me, I can fly. That's radical, folks, as it stands. But I went to school with a lady who is an honest-to-goodness bug collector, has a butterfly collection that is illegal for you and I to have. If you capture the butterflies, you go to prison because you're not allowed to take them out of the rainforest. She gets taken on safari by the people who protect the rainforest. She's world-renowned. And she and I, she's a Christian, she and I were talking about this, and she says, Mike, it's even more radical than that. You want to know what really happens when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly? And I'm like, yeah, what happens? She said, since they invented the electron microscope, they've been able to see inside the chrysalis. You know what happens when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly? It liquefies. That's crazy. It doesn't just drop off some legs and grow some wings. It liquefies. But get this. Every single molecule changes. Every molecule, friends, every molecule. Not one molecule of caterpillar is in a butterfly. It is a complete new creation. That is the illustration. That is the word picture God is giving you and I. Do you want radical change? Change how you think. This is the battle. Once we have accepted Christ, and even before we accept Christ, folks, the battle is for your brain, your noggin. That's where Satan first attacks us. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans chapter 8 verse 6 has two principles for us. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Two things I want you to notice there. The word set is an active verb. We have a choice what we dwell on. Second principle I want you to see in there, it matters. It matters what we dwell on. The mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Which do you want? It's a simple question. It's a plain verse. Which do you want? What outcome do you want? It matters what you dwell on. So turn to Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 8. Those who've been around Green Oak for a long time, this became one of our themes one year. And Scott put this to a song he created. It was amazing. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or good reputation, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, what is that word? Dwell. Dwell on these things. Set your mind, dwell on good things. Plain and simple, summarize that whole verse, dwell on good things. Pay attention to what you're thinking about and think about good things. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The only good one in this room, New American Standard. Sorry, Blanche. No. I say that with all due respect to other translations. But Pastor Phil and most of us like the New American Standard because it's a word-for-word translation. New IV, which a lot of you have, New International Version, is an idea-for-idea translation. And because it's word-for-word, the New American Standard, in most cases, for what we're teaching, seems to be more accurate. But thank you, Blanche, for asking. I'm just teasing you. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. That word set is the exact same word in Greek that was used in Romans 8, 6. So we have two principles, set your mind on good things, dwell on good things, set your mind on good things where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Our thinking matters. It's where the battle is won or lost. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's the part that we want to look at. We're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Pay attention. And then lastly, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness, that word that we started talking about last week, and holiness and truth. How do we live practical righteousness? By being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Plain and simple, folks, guard your mind. If I have a heart attack in the next 10 seconds, don't get anything else in. That's what you need to take away from here. I'm going to talk really fast and fly through these. So bear with me. Put on your racing caps. Actually, I'm just going to turn that off for a second. You can listen to me. We have a principle as human beings called patterning. So let me tell you about patterning. Patterning is something that happens in all of our brains, and it happens through repetition. Patterning, when I do something over and over and over, it goes from where I have to really think about it and focus on it and try real hard to after a while, I don't have to think about it. How many of you in here have a driver's license? Raise your hand. How many of you in here have driven more than 5 years? Raise your hand. How many of you, if you are honest, when you get in your car, are not thinking about the driving, but thinking about where you're going, what you're going to eat, what you just did, or what you have to do later? Honesty, raise your hand. Do you know why you can do that? Because you're not 16 years old anymore going, oh my gosh, am I seeing everybody that's around me? Am I going to crash into anything? Am I stopping in time? Do I have enough following distance? I remember how chaotic my brain was when I first learned to drive. It's like, how can I remember all this stuff? And sad to say, now I don't even think about the driving. Why? It's been patterned into my brain. When you do something, this is how God wired you, folks. If you do something over and over, it becomes permanent in your brain. You never forget it. How many of you know that about riding bicycles? About eating with utensils? I still can't eat with chopsticks. I don't know how they do it. I watch them, they can just shovel it in, right? Because I didn't pattern my brain that way. But if you pattern it, if you do something over and over and over, it becomes permanent in your brain. It is told to me that it literally makes a track in your physical brain when you do something over and over. The nerve signals that do that activity actually dig a ditch in your brain. And that ditch never goes away. It's like irrigation. If you want water to go down this way, the water comes and it goes down a channel. So if I have a bad pattern in my brain and a bad habit of thinking, The only way to change it is to dig a new ditch that's deeper. That means I have to practice a new thought process, a new activity longer so that ditch is deeper. That is a really, really important concept for living a practical life of righteousness. Because, folks, we're practicing things all the time. We're digging ditches in our brain all the time. Are they good ditches leading to what we want? Or are they crummy ditches that are leading us away from what we actually want? And people don't take the time to stop and think about that. So we develop automatic thought habits through practice. They never go away. It's like bike riding, driving, video games. Some people are amazing at video games. They don't even think about it. They carry on a conversation with me and sit there and kill everybody that they're killing or do whatever activity they're doing because it's automatic in their brain. Whether that's a good thing or not, I don't know. But to change, we have to dig a new ditch. Along with patterning, we have an issue of brain chemistry. I hope most of you know that our body is physical and chemical is part of that. And so we have chemistry that God designed in our brain for good that Satan knows how to distract us for not good. So I want to talk about some of your brain chemistry. First chemical that goes off in your brain that you need to pay attention to is called dopamine. What's the word? Dopamine. Interesting. Sounds like dope and makes you a dope, right? But dopamine is actually a good chemical if it's used the right way in your brain. It is that feeling that gives you a sense of pleasure and well-being. It makes you feel good. It is an honest-to-goodness feel-good drug that's inside your brain that God put there to help you feel good. It's a reward drug. You get this drug when you accomplish a goal. If you help somebody, if you, it's involved in physical intimacy, food, helping someone, sacrificing for someone else, reaching a goal. If you do something nice for someone else, you know how it feels good that you did something for someone? That's dopamine, makes you feel good. The part that I haven't talked about that's really bad is the part in parentheses up there. It says, whatever caused it is good. Your brain is pretty simplistic unless you take control of it. Your brain says this feels good, so whatever triggered this is good, in parentheses, whether it is or not. You can get dopamine from robbing a bank. You set a goal. I'm going to go in there and stick up this bank. And when you walk out that front door, it's like, I did it. Oh, look, I just got arrested. Well, that's not feeling so good. But you will get a dopamine rush for a short period of time. And your brain will tell you, you need to do that again. So if I am patterning my brain and I am triggering dopamine on activities that are not good for me, my brain is craving more of it and telling me it's good for me no matter what else I know about it. So I got to pay attention to dopamine. Another chemical that we have to pay attention to, this is primarily in women. Men have some of it. It's a very powerful drug. It's very illegal to have this drug outside of a doctor's prescription. It's oxytocin. Oxytocin is a brain primarily, it's increased in women because of estrogen. Oxytocin is what is released when a mother nurses her baby. It is an instant deep bonding that you would give your life for this other human being in an instant. Is that a good thing? Yeah. It must happen in the wild too, because think about a mother bear protecting her cubs, right? Don't mess with mama bear and her cubs. She's going to fight for them. We were watching one of the travel channels the other day, and these people had gotten close to a mother bear feeding with her cubs, and a male bear who was twice the size of the mother bear came in and wanted the kill that the mother bear had gotten for her cubs. And these people are going, this mother bear is dead. She's going to give her life for her cubs. Because this male bear was enormous. She was 600 pounds. They estimated him at 1,200 pounds. She looked at him. She charged him. He didn't know what hit him. She was like a freight train going after this guy. She knocked him on his can. He's all upside down, flipped over. She's mauling the guy. He gets up. He's all startled. She goes back to her babes. He's kind of walking around. He's thinking, I still want that food over there. He attacks her again. She mauled him a second time. He left. No food. Don't mess with a mother bear, right? Oxytocin, bonding. I'll give my life. Here's the problem with oxytocin. Oxytocin also is released primarily in physical intimacy. So people who are involved in physical intimacy with someone who's not healthy, they bond to that person. And the bonding is, this person is good for me, and I need to be with this person whether they are or not. Folks, I'm a licensed marriage counselor, and I deal with people who have made really poor choices of who they're bonded to. I had a family bring me a 25-year-old. I meet with the whole family when that happens. This 25-year-old was dating a gangster who had shot a person outside of a 7-Eleven and left the scene and didn't know if that person lived or died or not. And this girl was intent on marrying this guy. Oxytocin messed with her brain and told her, this guy is good for her. And when she and I are having a conversation about it, it's, what about this? Well, he treats me nice. Well, he's different with me. Well, I'm going to change him. No, you're stupid. I have to be a little nicer because it's a first meeting and they'll never come back. So basically, I asked her a question. I said, okay, let me ask you a question. This guy treats you so differently and he behaves so differently around you, right? Yeah. And you really think that God's going to use you to bring this guy around? Yeah. Okay. When was the last time you told this guy no to something he wanted to do? Well, never. I said, that's right. As long as you say yes to whatever he wants to do and however he wants it, he's going to treat you nice. I have a challenge for you this week. Say no and see how he treats you. Say no and see how he behaves. I'm happy to report to you she broke up with that guy. And I had a chance to work with her for a long time. And she started dating healthy people. Oxytocin messes with your brain and tells you that evil is good for you because it feels good. Vasopressin, similar in men. Vasopressin is released in physical intimacy, and it gives you the desire to take care of, protect, and become jealous over that person. Very powerful chemistry. God designed that chemistry to take place in the context of marriage, because in that context, these are all good things, folks. I'm jealous for the righteousness of my partner. I'm bonded to my partner. I would give my life for my partner. It's a good thing that God brought us together and make our marriage work. But outside of that, there's no place for this. So we shouldn't be physical intimate outside of marriage. When you put patterning and chemistry together, you have a volatile mix that will destroy your life and your righteous thinking. It can be excellent to mix these when I do it in God's context, when I do it where God says it's appropriate and it's healthy for me. God designed all that to make it all work together and to make it strong into me. What if I pattern my brain after good things? What if I'm digging ditches that are good ditches, whether it's with my Bible study or fellowship or different things that I'm doing, and I'm creating good habits? God's worked that out to stick with me. So if I set righteous goals and pursue them, there's a positive outcome. Is your activity, is your thought life something you'd be proud to tell your children about someday? If not, you probably need to reevaluate it. Because if we set selfish, unrighteous habits and patterns, they're there the rest of our life, they have a negative income, and we're not really proud to talk about it. In our world, we chase feelings. So, some dangerous patterning for our brain in our world. Unrighteousness, which is designed to destroy us by the enemy, or righteousness, which is designed to bless us. And I'm going to have to go quickly through these, so... Chemical culture. Chemistry is magic, folks. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will grab your brain and make you crave it and want you to have it. As a counselor, I can tell you there's nothing in this world, truly nothing I hate worse than drugs. It destroys people and I cannot bring them back. I can't. They're gone. They are extremely addicting. Do not mess with drugs. Nicotine is a drug. Caffeine is a drug. Caffeine is a legitimate diagnosis. I have a manual of diagnosis of psychological conditions. Caffeine addiction is in there. Pay attention how much coffee and soda you drink that has caffeine in it. Your body is craving a rush that it gets from that caffeine. Sorry, Starbucks. There is a thing called the law of diminishing returns. When you're doing these things, what gave you a certain level of feeling, the next time it takes more to give you that same level and more that same level. And when you work with chemical addiction, at first people get this tremendous high the first time they try a drug. It's like, wow, this is magic. This is wonderful. Next time, not so much, not so much, not so much, not so much. And if they stay on it, folks, I'm not exaggerating. They normally now feel lower than you and I feel normally, and they're trying to take the drug just to feel what you already feel, just to get back to normal. It's the law of diminishing returns. It's a total trap from the pit of hell. Ephesians 5:18 is where it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He just used alcohol as an example. It doesn't mean pot's okay. It doesn't mean coke's okay. It doesn't mean amphetamines are okay. It's anything that would numb us from being filled with the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We have a casual hookup culture. I actually wanted to spend a whole message on this. But let me tell you that having premarital relationships with someone who God hasn't designed for you, period, has problems. And unfortunately, in the culture right now that's growing up, if you're not involved in this casual hookup, you're shamed. You're not doing it. Everyone's doing it. By the way, that's a lie. There's still more people not doing it than doing it. But it's really prevalent. But what's really crazy is it's the women going after the men now. I have a very good friend. He has a junior high, now a college age, but he was high school at the time. Two very handsome young men. He told them this, basically. If you get a girlfriend pregnant, what you're really saying, or when you start getting involved in physical intimacy, what you're really saying is, I'm ready to raise a family. So whatever point in your life, you're ready to raise a family, commit yourself to this person, spend the rest of your life with them, and give up all your other goals, go for it. But you will not live under our roof. We'll love you, but you have no longer our financial support. You will be self-sufficient because that is what you are saying. I am ready to take responsibility for other human beings. Both of these boys have been attacked, and I mean attacked, by girls trying to get them to be physically intimate with them. The oldest boy broke up with the girl, and the father got him on the phone and was chewing him out over and over and over how his daughter was brokenhearted, and he was trying to spare the daughter the embarrassment of what was going on. And this guy is just all over him. How could you hurt my daughter this way? How could you do this? How could you do that? It went on for 10 minutes, and he finally said, sir, I don't want to be physically intimate with your daughter, but that's what she wants. And guess who got real quiet on the phone all of a sudden? And he said, you better take care of business at home before you start chewing on me. And the man thanked him and they hung up. Big problem in our culture. You better be prepared how you're going to say no and get out of that situation. The results, disease is obvious. A child. But here's the deal, folks. God designed physical intimacy to be a wonderful thing, a bonding thing, a thing that is the closest relationship we have to Jesus Christ. And to do it casually, you have to cut off your emotions. God didn't design it to be cut off. And people think, oh, I can just cut off my emotions, go through this act, and afterwards it'll be fine. No, it's not. Afterwards, there's a flood of negative emotions. And as it says up there, women who have been involved in this activity are two times more likely than they would be otherwise to commit, try to attempt suicide. Men are six or seven times more likely to attempt suicide just by this activity in their life. Is this a good thing? Doesn't sound like it. There's tons of negative emotions that fly in afterwards, folks. It's a lie that this is going to be a good thing for you. So, and the other thing is, oh, I can turn this on and off. I can behave this way, but when I get married, it'll all be good. What you pattern your brain around now is what you're carrying into marriage. You dug the ditches, folks. So we have an activity culture, two more drugs that we're after, endorphins and adrenaline, sporting activities, X Games, motorcycle riding, big wave surfing, internet stunts that you see, you know, people doing crazy things on there. All that stuff is trying to get a high. It's trying to get a rush in my brain. media culture. What do we fill our brains with on TV, radio, internet, magazines, newspapers? What kind of literature are you reading? Technology culture. Now I'm going to really step on some toes of young people, aren't I? Computer games, online stuff that no one knows about, cell phones, tablets. How much time is this taking in your life? What kind of habits of patterning are you putting in your time with these activities? Do you know that people are developing relationships now on the internet? It's not a relationship, folks. A relationship is personal. That's impersonal. It's not helping our culture. Don't fall into that trap. Be better than that because you are. You young people have the light of Jesus Christ to share with your friends, but your friends are buying this up lock, stock, and barrel, and they think this is wonderful. It's not. It's leading them to hell. Pornography and other unrighteous images. If you create a habit of that stuff, you're going to carry that habit into your marriage. All these things can create patterns and habits of thinking that never leave. And they create associations. Even when you decide to quit these habits, my family all smoked. I thought, why do I want to smoke when everyone I love wants to quit and can't? That's how addicting nicotine is. Every family member I loved wanted to quit and couldn't. Why do I want to play with this? It's going to hook me. My uncle almost lit himself on fire because he became paralyzed with smoking a cigarette and it dropped on his shirt and he couldn't get it off. And that's when he decided it was time to quit. I asked him like 6 years later, do you miss it? He says, yeah, I miss it. I miss having a smoke after a meal. You create those patterns, they never go away. Don't create them in the first place. Do you know that there is, the psychologists are talking about a new addiction? I'm not making this up. It's on checking your cell phone even when you haven't been beeped that something's there. There is a chemical rush when you pick up your phone and see someone contacted you. Wow, someone's thinking about me. That's a feel-good thing, right? The dopamine goes off. Someone's thinking about me. Well, it's nice to be thought of. And now it's becoming an addiction. I got to check my phone, even if I haven't gotten... Where is everybody? How come people aren't touched? Folks, get into a real relationship. Call somebody. Meet with somebody. They're very hard to kick. God's way is best. There's no downside. There's no negative. Everything works together in a positive. Our action steps. Get a clear picture of what your goals and desires are. Most of us want to live to please God, right? Have a lifelong relationship with healthy friends. Most of us want that. Most of us would like to have a successful lifelong marriage. Ask yourself, is this activity that I'm doing today and this choice helping me reach that goal? If it's not helping you reach that goal, don't do it. Would Jesus think this way? Would Jesus do this activity? We're going to close with a song. I've asked for this song to be our closing song. It's kind of a weird song to have as a closing song. So I have to give it a little bit of a introduction. It's called God Is Not Dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Here's what I want you to think about when you sing those words. First of all, our God is not dead. Our God is alive, and he is powerful. That's the roaring part. When you think about roaring like the lion, that is the power of God in you that the Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail against. So this is like a battle cry for us to get excited about the power of God in us. He's not dead. He's living inside of us, and he's roaring like a lion against the enemy, Satan, who has created all of these things to distract us from living right thoughts and right decisions and right activities before God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that encourages us and warns us and teaches us. We thank you for this time that we can be made aware of how you have designed things, Father. Protect us from corrupting our brain from what you want it to be. Father, help us to be full of those activities that fulfill the goals you want for our life. A relationship with you, a relationship with others that draws people to Christ. We thank you for your help in this. In Jesus' name, amen.